the ability through modern technology to take the gospel, not just locally, but around the world. And we can do it all at the same time when we sing and when we pray and when we preach the Word of God. And it's such a joy to welcome others. And many of these people, many, many of them, we'll never be able to meet. One day we will in heaven, and we'll have an awful lot to talk about. We look forward to that. We get quite a bit of correspondence from various places, whether it be over in Africa or in Brazil or in other strategic places throughout the world where people get the same broadcast and the same service that you're getting this morning. And that's a miracle. That really is a miracle. We used to be able to have only one way we could spread the gospel, and that's tell a woman. Now we've grown up and we have more resources. All right, got you good and mad now. We can go ahead with the message. Anita Brister. I tell you what, that was good playing today. We appreciate so much this dear lady coming and helping us out. And what a blessing it is to have her here. You'll tell her that after the service, I'm sure. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Psalm 23. The 23rd Psalm. It takes you 45 seconds to read the 23rd Psalm. And yet, it takes year after year after year to study the contents of that psalm. We've been in it now for 7 weeks, the 23rd Psalm. It occurred to me this morning that there are perhaps many people who claim to be Christians who have never read the 23rd Psalm. Now, they've heard it read, maybe at a funeral or a special occasion, but it'd be a terrible thing for a Christian to go through his life and miss the beauty of this great 23rd Psalm. And this is where we are today. When I was a boy, and many times I could not sleep at night, I was told that if you'd count sheep, does that ring a bell with you? If you just count sheep. And I tell you, I've counted sheep up into the tens of thousands, and it just didn't work. But yet other people would tell me the same thing. Concentrate and begin to count the sheep, and then you can go to sleep and you can get some rest. But somehow or another, that began to change a little bit. And I realized that wasn't good advice. Instead of counting sheep, you need to get your eyes off the sheep and look to the shepherd. Are you listening? The Lord is my shepherd. And when we stop looking at sheep and start looking at the shepherd, that's when the peace comes. And that's when the joy comes. I don't wish to bog down in this study of the 23rd Psalm. I do not wish that you be bored with it because it is so full. And if there's one thing I pray desperately for this morning is that God would give me and use me in a way that would be a blessing and an encouragement to you as you read this great psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. As I said, this is sermon number 7 in this series. And this morning I want to speak on the subject, the provision of protection. The provision of protection. Notice the first part of verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. We need to thank God for all of the wonderful, wonderful provisions that He makes for us as a shepherd makes for his sheep. Remember what they are? He provides us with rest. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He and He alone, as the shepherd, gives us the peace that passes all understanding and causes us to have this provision that He so graciously provided. Second of all, there's the provision of refreshment. He leadeth me beside the still waters. That's rejuvenation. It is motivation. It causes us once again to be able to rise up and stand for the Lord and do the things that we ought to do for Christ and not retire from serving Him. Thirdly, there's the provision of restoration. That's rejoicing. He restoreth my soul. David said, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." It is God and God alone that gives His people joy. And God can take that joy away. And He often does when we do those things that bring disgrace upon His name. And we come to realize what mistakes we make and what sins we commit, and we rush back to the Lord and say, "Forgive me." And He causes that joy to be reinstated. He restores the joy. And then there's the provision of righteousness. We talked about this last Sunday morning. The only righteousness you have. Well, really, there are two kinds. One is an artificial one called self-righteousness. The other one is God's righteousness. And there's only one kind of true righteousness, and that's the righteousness of God Almighty. And my dear friends, all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in His sight. But as the shepherd, He provides us with righteousness. He imputes righteousness to our account and imputes our sin to the account of Christ. So that when Christ died, He did not die for His sins. He knew no sin. But He died for our sins according to the Scriptures and produces within us His righteousness. In this message today, I want to deal with the provision of protection. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. I'd like to divide this study into three parts this morning. We've been studying this, I hope, together. Number one, spiritual growth through dark valleys. Spiritual growth, how do you grow when times are dark and difficulties lie ahead? Second of all, spiritual courage through dark valleys. The ability to be able to look opposition in the face and say, "Get out of my way. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And thirdly, spiritual companionship through dark valleys, for thou art with me. Protection is one of the greatest needs which we face today. Protection. We buy insurance for protection. We secure watchdogs for protection. We get inoculations for protection. We get checkups for protection. We have policemen and firemen for protection. We buy certain types of clothing for protection. We install heating and cooling in our homes for protection. And so on and on it goes. The greatest protection we have is our shepherd, who protects us by providing us with all that we need in this life. And I stated that last week, I believe several times, that all you as a believer really need spiritually is to be found in the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I will not have to go out and beg from other people or other sources. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Spiritual growth through dark valleys. Spiritual growth. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. God has designed mountains for rejoicing, but He made valleys for growth. You're not going to be able to do much growing on the mountaintop. You might do a whole lot of shouting. You may do a whole lot of jumping. But it is not the mountaintop that it is designed to help us grow. It is the valley where we grow most in our Christian experience. It's down in the valley where this growth takes place. It's like Simon Peter, who preferred the mountain to the valley. You remember Peter, James, and John went with Jesus Christ on top of the mountain where He was to be transfigured? Notice again, not at the base of the mountain. He took them to the top of the mountain. And when they got to the top of the mountain, they saw Moses, they saw Elijah, and they saw Jesus Christ transfigured before their very eyes. His skin began to glisten. They saw the glory of God. But they didn't do a whole lot of growing there. Though Peter said, "Lord, this is the greatest thing we've ever had. I mean, we've been in church all of our life. We've never seen it on this fashion before. Look, there's Moses over there. There's Elijah there. This is wonderful. Let's make three tabernacles." Now, I do think they had grown a little bit because they were average, if they were average Baptists. They said, "We need to make three tabernacles, one for Peter, one for James, and one for John." But no, they said, "We'll make three tabernacles, one for Moses, one for Elijah, and one for you." They wanted to stay the rest of their life on the mountain. But Christian, you can't do that. You don't grow on the mountain. You grow down in the valley. Let's look at three terms in this first section of Scripture. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. There are three terms there. First one is the word W-A-L-K, walk. You don't walk on the mountaintop. You camp out on the mountaintop. You walk in the valley. Second of all is the term the shadow of death. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. What does that mean? And the third one is the word through. Let's look at it. First of all, though I walk, this indicates growth. As I mentioned last week, what a joy it is when parents begin to see their little babies taking their first step. And they enjoy watching them walk because they equate walking with growing. They're growing up. They're walking. How important walking is. But I'll tell you something about you that you may never have discovered. You don't like to walk. Huh? You don't like to walk. Every once in a while, we'll go to the grocery store because we're starving to death. We need something to eat. And I am always really amazed at the people who want to park right in front of the door. And they'll waste $20 worth of gas driving around in the parking lot so they can get just as close as they can to the door. The reason is they don't like to walk. And my dear friends, you're not going to grow until you learn how to walk. I'd go see my doctor. He said, step on the scales. And I'd step on the scales. He said, you need to walk. I said, well, I did. I got out of my car. And I don't mean that. You need to walk. How often do I need to walk? Every day, he said. Every day you live. Walk, walk, walk. Sometimes you go down here to the mall. A lot of people use that as their racetrack where they walk. Have you ever noticed the grimace on the faces of those who are walking? Nobody's just tripping along just saying, praise the Lord, I'm just walking. They have this awful looking, grotesque look on their face and their fists are clenched up. And I believe they'd step on you if you didn't jump out of the way. Walking's good for you. Walk, walk, walk. Though I walk through the valley, not though I run through the valley. Wouldn't it be good if we could get out of the valley by running? We'd save time a lot. No, we have to walk. And sometimes it moves so slowly, it looks like you'll be in the same place for the rest of your life. And you know what? You got to go get a psychiatrist. You got to go get a psychologist to tell you how to get over that hump. And usually, my dear friends, within a week's time, you're right back where you were before you ever started. Walking, walking. Though I walk. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:1, walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you were called. The Bible says that Enoch walked with God. And was not, for God took him. He didn't walk ahead of God, didn't walk behind God. He walked with God. And it was while he was walking that God took him. What a way to go. The walk is so important. And this indicates growth. How much do you walk? Spiritually speaking, how much do you walk? You walk through the Word of God. That's good. And notice the signs as you walk by. Notice the landscape in the Scriptures as you walk by. It's rich, it is full, and it's nourishing to walk. Not only that, but the shadow of death. That's an interesting term. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. That term is used 16 times in your Bible, and Job uses it 8 of those 16 times. The term shadow of death speaks of death. That's in the context. It speaks of death. There's a passage of Scripture in Job chapter number 10, verses 10 through 22 that says this. Job chapter 10, verses 10 through 22. Are not my days few? Cease then, let me alone that I may take comfort a little. Job said, I don't have long to live. Would you just leave me alone and let me enjoy the time I have left? Do you realize how brief life is? It's the most amazing thing. One of our young ladies who's been in this church all of her life said, Brother Cozart, I've sat under your ministry for the last 18 years. Now she's gone. And I'm so glad you got homesick and you're here today. Okay? But what am I talking about? I'm talking about time passes so quickly. I look out and see these boys and these girls used to be just little, small, toddler children. I noticed as our pianist was playing, Daniel was cutting the mustard coming down the aisle this morning. I don't know. Maybe he's going to be a song leader. I don't know. But I'm telling you this, dear friends. It passes by and before you know it, you're going to be old. And somebody going to be attending your funeral instead of you attending theirs. That's implied in the shadow of death. It speaks of death. Before I go, whence I shall not return. even to the land of darkness and the shadow of death. A land of darkness as darkness itself, and of the shadow of death without any order, where the light is as darkness. That's physical death. That's the shadow of death. The shadow of death sometimes speaks of hard times. Hard times. In Psalm number 44, verses 17 and following. Psalm 44, verses 17 and following. All this is come upon us. And if you have to go back to the context, it speaks of the hard times that the children of Israel went through. All this is come upon us. Yet have we not forgotten thee, neither have we dealt falsely in thy covenant. Our heart is not turned back, neither have our steps declined from thy way. Though thou hast sore broken us in the place of dragons. Now, boy, that's an interesting word, isn't it? Thou hast broken us in the place of dragons and covered us with the shadow of death. If we have forgotten the name of our God or stretched out our hands to a strange God, shall not God search this out? For he knoweth the secrets of the heart. Yea, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are continued as sheep for the slaughter. Awake thou, why sleepest thou, O Lord? Cast us not off forever. Arise for our help, verse 26, and redeem us from our mercies, for thy mercy's sake. What he's simply saying is that things sometimes don't always go right in life. It's one hardship right after another. It's like the shadow of death. It's a big cloud that hangs over you, and somehow or another you can't get out from under it. The shadow of death sometimes speaks of chastisement. In Psalm 107, verses 8 through 15, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth a longing soul and filleth a hungry soul with goodness, such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron. Sometimes our circumstances can bind us like chains, my dear friend. They do so because they rebelled against the words of God and condemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought them and their heart with labor. They fell down and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and break their bands asunder. It also says in the latter two verses, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his wonderful work. Sometimes the Lord chastens us for our wicked ways. If we do not get right, he administers a form of discipline, and it's like the shadow of death. Have you ever gotten up in a given morning and you looked at yourself in the mirror and you said, boy, I just don't feel good? Really, you were feeling just fine. Your feeling wasn't so much in your physical. The feeling was a voidness in your soul, an emptiness of God's presence. It's like a shadow of death. And though I walk through, there's the third word, though I walk through, notice we shall not bypass the valley. We'll always have the valley out there, and it is here in the valley that we grow. We'll not bog down in it, but we pass through it. We shall pass through death. We shall pass through hard times, and we shall pass through chastisement. Very quickly, notice spiritual courage comes through dark valleys. I will fear no evil. Have you ever been afraid before? Fear is a real thing. It's a real thing. Faith is the means of fearing no evil. Faith is seeing what the eyes cannot see. There is a walk of sight and there's a walk by faith, and the just shall live by faith. If you look at the shadow of death with the eyes of sight, it will be most alarming and frightening. You'll say, I don't know how in the world I'll get through this, because you're looking at it through the eyes of sight. But you look at the same thing through the eyes of faith and you will not fear. The Lord Jesus was aboard a ship with his disciples, and all of a sudden they began to panic. And the reason they began to panic was not because the Lord was in the boat. They began to panic because they got their eyes on the storm. They saw the waves. They heard the thunder. They saw the lightning. And then when they woke the Lord up, what did he say? O ye of little faith. O ye of little faith. Faith produces courage by trusting that every valley is wisely chosen by its personal shepherd. It is the shepherd that chooses the valley for the children and for the sheep. We do not all go through the same valley, but if you've been saved by the grace of God, there is a valley you will go through, and God selects the valley. He's wise enough to know which valley to put you in. I've seen people in certain valleys before, I believe, and I've said it. If I had to go through that valley, I would die right in the midst of it. But God didn't put me in that particular valley. God has a valley for me. He has a valley for you. And he wisely selects the valley that we have to walk in. Spiritual courage through dark valleys. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Listen, Christian, all things work together for good to those who love the Lord, to those who are the called according to his purpose. I do not know what your situation is today. You don't know what my situation is, but I have a shepherd who does know me, his sheep. He knows where I live. He knows how I live. He knows what my fears are. He knows what my weaknesses are. He knows what my distresses are. And he is quite competent to bring good out of everything that I have to face. It'll be good for me, but it'll bring honor and glory unto him. It's one of the most difficult lessons you'll ever have to learn, that all things work together for good to those that love the Lord, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Faith produces courage by trusting in the attributes of God with no limitations. Our problem today is we've got a shrinking God. He's a God that can't do what he used to be able to do. He's not a God that is described over in the Old Testament that could part the waters of the Red Sea, that could rain fire and brimstone down on Sodom. Our God today, he's a little puny God. But the God of the Bible, when you begin to realize there are no impossibilities with our shepherd, he can do all things and will do all things according to that which pleaseth him. It brings comfort when we go through that valley, and we grow trusting in the attributes of God. Faith produces courage by knowing the shepherd has already gone down that valley road before you. You see, Hebrews 4:15 says, we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. And this is a sidetrack. I guess this is what you call shooting rabbits. This is one reason, my dear friends, why you'll never find Dan Cozart in a confessional booth talking to a priest. You're welcome. That'll never happen. You know why? Because by the grace of God, my dear friends, he needs the Lord just as much as I need the Lord. But we have a high priest who can be touched. He can be touched. And the reason he can be touched is because he has already experienced it. He became sin for us. What an experience on the cross. Faith produces courage in knowing the shepherd's already gone before us down that valley road. Have you ever been lied about? He was. Have you ever been betrayed? He was. Have you ever been forsaken? He was. Have you ever been slandered? He was. Do you know he was removed and has removed all the sharp rocks, all the deadly creatures, and he has taken the sting out of death for his people. I will fear no evil. Faith produces courage by knowing what's on the other side after the shadow of death. Excuse me. What's on the other side? Unless the Lord comes pretty soon, you're going to have to die before you see Him. You're going to have to experience death before you see Him. And I'm telling you that death won't seem to be near the monster that we often make it to be when we understand that's not the end of the story. That when I die, and when my funeral is preached, and sorrow of people who knew me and loved me, and the laughing of the enemies who hated me, that's not all the story. Paul said to be absent from the flesh is to be present with the Lord. And finally, spiritual companionship through dark valleys. For thou art with me. Thou art with me. You say, well, I know when I'm living right, He's with me. He's with you when you're living wrong. Now, that's a hard one to take, isn't it? But if you belong to Him and you're one of His sheep, no shepherd shoots his sheep because he breaks a leg once in a while. The shepherd loves his sheep. And the Lord Jesus Christ loves His own. They belong to Him and He bought and paid for them with His shed blood. Thou art with me. Notice it is not death. It is the valley of the shadow of death. That's a very important consideration. Where there is no shadow, there is no light. It is light that causes the shadow. And if we have the promise, we'll not walk through death, but we'll walk through the shadow of death. It is because even at the point of death, thou art with me. And the light of Christ Jesus casts the shadow that we walk through. Isn't that great? John Calvin said, though I am under the arrests of death and have received the sentence of death in myself and have all reason in the world to look upon myself as a dying man, yet I will not fear, for I trust my shepherd. I trust my shepherd. Let me read you a passage from Psalm 18. Psalm 18. In verses 1 through 6. I will love Thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock. He is my fortress. He is my deliverer. He is my God. He is my strength, in whom I will trust. He is my buckler and the horn of my salvation, and He is my high tower. If He is my rock, He's unmovable. If He is my fortress, He gives me protection. If He is my deliverer, He gives me victory. If He's my buckler, He's my shield. If He is my horn, He is my strength, and if He is my tower, He is my encouragement. All that I need is in Jesus Christ. He is my shepherd. So I'd give anything. I could really be happy if I had a car like He's got. Let me ask you this. Do you enjoy the payments? You have any car you want to, you're going to have to pay for it. That takes the joy out of it. The things of the world glisten and they have a great deal of attraction to them. But my dear friends, are not worth a dime. They're here today and they're gone tomorrow. Nobody's going to be driving down the pearly streets of glory, I guarantee you. But the Lord will be there. The Lord will be there. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death went before me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even unto his ears. For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God I have leaped over a wall. Have you ever done that before? That's fun. To be able to leap over the wall of opposition by the power and strength of the Holy Spirit of God. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He's a buckler to all that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord? And who is a rock save our God? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. When our Lord Jesus hung on the cross of Calvary, there was a thief on either side of him. And one particular thief was regenerated by the Holy Spirit. If you read the context, you'll find that both thieves were cursing Christ. And they were saying, deliver yourself and save us if you be the Son of God. But something all of a sudden very strange happened to one of those thieves. The Bible calls it regeneration. The Holy Spirit of God quickened the mind and the soul of that unsaved thief, and he saw who Jesus Christ really was, and he said unto him, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And you remember what Christ said? Today, this day, thou shalt be with me in paradise. Thou art with me forever. When he said, thou shalt be with me in paradise, he was talking to a convicted felon facing death. When he said, thou art with me, this very moment you're with me. And then you'll be with me, how long? Forever. In Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So he provides protection for us. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He provides protection for us. And then though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Now, if God will give us the grace to translate that into our everyday lives. Some days are not as good as others, won't you agree? But I tell you, it's a wonderful joy to wake up in the morning and be able to say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Let's stand, please, for prayer.